If you would tonight, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. We'll start with a verse there, and then we'll go over to 2 Timothy, and we'll read some verses there on the same, along the same line. So Romans, to begin with, chapter 1, and then 2 Timothy also, chapter 1. We'll read some 4 or 5 verses in Timothy. Only one verse here in the book of Romans, but it tells us here these two passages have some things in common that we want to deal with tonight as we are here on the Wednesday night prayer service, prayer time, and ask God's blessings upon us. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, is a very popular verse. It's a verse that is read many, many times, many places. It's also a verse that has a lot to say to us as a Christian. Of course, the Apostle Paul, I believe, wrote Romans, and he is writing to the Roman Christians. And he tells them here in verse number 16, he has a personal story or a personal message he wants to give them. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." So here Paul tells them, those folks, as he had gone through the struggles of his life, he says, "I'm not ashamed of where I am, not ashamed of the gospel." Paul had gotten into a lot of trouble during his ministry because of the gospel. And he tells them he's not ashamed of the gospel because he realizes that that message of salvation or that message of the gospel is the way of salvation to everyone that will believe. And I'm so glad it's to everyone. Everyone that will believe it, he will in no wise cast out. There's a lot of people who will not believe. There's a lot of people who will never turn to the Lord. But it's there available for them if they would turn. And I understand the relationship that God tells us about. There are some that are seems to be just bent on going away from God and staying away from God. But here this scripture says that the power of God, the gospel, is to everyone that believeth. That's the key to it, is that believeth. The person that will believe, they'll get saved. And then he tells us it was to the Jew first. The Bible tells us Jesus came unto his own. He was a Jew. He came to Jewish people. He came to the Jewish nation. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as will receive him, John chapter 1 tells us, they can become the sons of God. That's those that will believe. And so it's a gospel that we ought not to be ashamed of. And Paul declares he is not ashamed of that gospel and that message of salvation. Now turn over to 2 Timothy, and we'll begin, we'll read in chapter number 1. And Paul is along the same lines of this word of being ashamed. In verse number 7, we'll begin our reading, and we'll read down through verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of prayer and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The passage here in 2 Timothy is one of the favorite passages I have in the Scripture. And it's one of the great passages that we can, if we should take time tonight, you can go verse by verse and develop the thoughts here that Paul was writing to this young preacher boy, Timothy. He's called His Son. He's called His Son in the gospel, in the ministry. And so we find that as Paul is writing Timothy, he is in prison, and he's suffered the afflictions that he tells about. And he says here that in verse number 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. If anybody had reason to fear, it would have been the Apostle Paul. He faced some very strong dangers in his ministry and in his travels and his life. And he said, but God hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us power, the power of God. And then he says also, and of love and of a sound mind. So there's four things here that four or five things that God has given him that he might complete the ministry. He does not have the spirit of fear. He has that of power. He has love. He has sound mind that God blessed him with that he could do the ministry. And then he begins to write personally to Timothy, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner. So Paul begins now to write personally to this young man, Timothy. He says, don't be ashamed of the Lord. And said, and by the way, don't be ashamed of me. I'm His prisoner, but don't be ashamed that I am in prison. You read in the Scripture, you'll find that the Apostle Paul was never ashamed of what the Lord had done for him. As Paul was on his way to Damascus to have conflict with the saved people of Damascus, as he had authority from the government to go and to put into prison or even to kill those that named the name of Christ, as he made that journey, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And you read about that in Romans chapter number 8, chapter 9. And you'll find that from that point on, Paul was 100% assured that what the Lord had done for him was that which was right in his life. And he was never ashamed of what God had blessed him and had given him to. And so we find that he was never ashamed. And he writes on these two occasions that we've read tonight, there are more times than this that he makes that statement. But too many times, I find that God's people seem to be ashamed of what the Lord is doing in their life, especially in our day in which we live, because the world is so bent on being anti-God and anti-Bible, and our world seems to be so set-minded that they're not going to believe what the Scripture says, and if we're not careful, we'll begin to wonder what they think about me, and I wonder what they'll say about me behind my back. And it really doesn't matter what they say. It really doesn't matter what they think. But we should always stand firm and true for the gospel's sake. And there's some things that we should never be ashamed of. I've seen some people that acted like in their personal life when they were outside of the church, outside of the walls of the house of God, they acted like they were ashamed of some things because they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to have any conversation about it, but I'm thankful that we don't have to be ashamed of our salvation. Our salvation is great. It's wonderful what the Lord has done for us and how He has blessed us, and so we should never be ashamed of our salvation. For this gospel that Paul preached and the gospel that I preach, the gospel that you believe and preach with your personal life is the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel of God that brings salvation to people, and they must hear it in order to be born again. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so this Bible, the Scripture that we have, it's very important that we not be ashamed of it, because within the covers of the Word of God is the ways of life in order to go to heaven. And outside of that, there's no road. There's no other way except through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's not many different ways to the same place. There's only one way to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we should never be ashamed of our salvation. We should never be ashamed of our Lord. We should never be ashamed of the Word of God that He has given us. We shouldn't be ashamed of our spiritual family that the Lord has blessed us with. You know, sometimes the spiritual family, sometimes the church family, we certainly shouldn't be ashamed of our church and the actions that we do and the things that we try to accomplish for the Lord, because sometimes the church family, the spiritual family, becomes more reliable, becomes more helpful to us sometimes than our own physical family, because we have something in common. It's called the bond of salvation. We have that which bonds us together, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. And so we should never be ashamed of the Word of God. We should never be ashamed of the message that it has. And we certainly shouldn't be ashamed of being different in this world. I want to be different. I want to stand out as different. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to blend in because there's too much blending now. There's too many things going on that sort of take a little bit of air of religion and a little bit of air of the world and sort of blends it together, and there's no line of demarcation. I think there ought to be. I think there should be a difference in the child of God and this, what the Scripture calls this present evil world. It is right now, and it is an evil world. And it is amazing how the world bombards us from childhood all the way up to adulthood, even into our other years of life. It's amazing how we are bombarded continually to accept what we know is wrong. I've noticed some things even this week that it would be just to accept it and go on and not make any waves about it and just have it accepted. It's okay. Everybody else is doing that. Everybody else is going that way. But we ought not to ever be ashamed that we stand for what this book teaches. And where we stand upon that, I ought not to be ashamed to be called a fundamentalist. I believe we believe the fundamentals of the Scripture, the fundamental text of the Word of God. We just simply believe what God says and try to live by that, and therefore we shouldn't be ashamed of how we live and what we believe. Our missionaries stand in foreign fields and stand upon different areas, and they have to stand and preach the same thing we do in a heathen world. And I'll tell you what, the world that we think of across the water is not much more heathen than this world in which we live. We're just a little bit more, in some areas, we're a little bit more civilized maybe, but we're becoming far, far different than what we have been in the past. So we should never be ashamed, as Paul said, of the gospel of Christ. And then he tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's the gospel of Christ. And then he says, don't be ashamed of me. Brings it down to a personal thing, and we certainly should not be ashamed of people that name the name of Christ. Now, they live and serve the Lord and live for the things of God. They are talked against, they are worked against in every issue of every area of society. The world has nothing to do with the Lord's people, and so therefore, we certainly need to pray you one for another. So we need to not just be ashamed, but we need to openly, vigorously know what we believe, know who we believe. Paul says as we read these words tonight, and I wish we had time to go verse by verse, he talks about his affliction, the afflictions of the gospel, those things that came to him because he preached the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. There was troubles that came to Paul's life because of that, and he tells about that. But then he says in verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. That makes it all worthwhile. That makes everything okay because the Lord has saved us. He has called us. He has given us a holy calling from the Lord. And he tells us here it's not according to our works. God hadn't called us because he saw something good. God didn't call us. And God didn't save us because he saw something great within us. And that would be our works. Paul said it's not according to that, but it's according to his own purpose and grace. Thank God he has a purpose in our life. He has grace that's been given. Somebody asked me not too long ago, said, are you a grace preacher? I said, I don't know anything else to preach than the grace of God. That's what it's all about. And I knew what they meant. I sort of tricked them on the answer, but I knew what they was asking me. And they said, are you a grace preacher? And I said, yes, I believe in the grace of God, totally, 100% salvation. And so we find that we ought not to ever be ashamed of that message of grace. And so Paul says that the Lord has saved us not according to our deeds, not according to our works, but according to His purpose. And He has a plan for us. And it tells us here that He's done according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ. I'm glad everything I had, everything I have comes in Christ. Sometimes I'll do a study get your Bible program out on your computer or whatever you have, get out of concordance, and look up in the New Testament the words "in Christ." It's a good study. Everything we have is in Christ. And every blessing comes because of the Lord. But He tells us here that He has His purpose and grace that was given us in Christ, and tells us when? Before the world began. Now that bumfuzzles a lot of people. That boggles our mind. That was before the world began. Before Genesis. Before the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." I'm glad I was in the plan of the Lord. I was glad I'm in the purpose of God, because He knew all about me. He knew all about the world. And so therefore, I can be in Christ before the world ever began, because He knew all the things that were taking place. And those some of those things He purposed that would happen regardless of what anybody else did or said. And so that's a wonderful message that we have of the grace of God. So I know what I believe. Thank God for that. I know what the Scripture teaches, but our Scripture here tonight doesn't tell us about a what, it tells us about a who. And that makes it worthwhile. And Paul says here in this these last verses, verse number 12, he says, "For the which cause I suffer these things." Then he says, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I may have suffering on this side, I may have problems over here, but," he says, "nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Then he says, "For I know whom I have believed." Goes all the way back to Christ. "For I know whom I have believed," and he goes on and says, "And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." And so tonight I want us to look at some things that we can know. Thank God we know some things, and we know the Lord, and we know about Him. Not just about Him, but I'm glad I know Him. And Paul says here, "I know whom I have believed. I'm not ashamed of the Lord because I know Him." You have a personal relationship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are not ashamed of what He's done for us. So let's look at this these verses here tonight, and just this verse number 12, and says here, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded." I'm glad He was persuaded. Then he said, here's what I'm persuaded of: He is able. Thank God tonight He is able to handle every need that we have. Every problem that comes our way, every difficulty that comes to our pathway, I'm glad He is able. And we'll look at that, this latter part of verse number 12. We'll just sort of look at it a section at a time, a phrase at a time, or even word at a time. And notice here what Paul is saying. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." The first thing you see here in this this last part of verse number 12 is that little word "I." Paul wasn't talking about somebody else. He's talking about someone himself. He's talking about himself, personal. I'm glad my salvation is not a group salvation. I'm glad I wasn't saved because a lot of other people got saved. I'm glad I'm not in a group of the saved and that nothing I could do it. But I'm glad He came to me personally. I'm glad He came to me one day and one night, and I understood that I was a sinner. And He said, "You need the Lord. You need to be saved." And the Spirit of God began to deal with our hearts. And if we're saved, we all have the same testimony up to in certain areas, because salvation is the Holy Spirit dealing with us individually. Individually, He tells us that we are a sinner, that we are lost, and that we need God. And so Paul says here, I'm persuaded. He said it's a personal thing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And then he says in verse number 10 of Philippians 3, "that I may know Him." The reason that we know God is because He comes to us, and through faith and by faith, Paul says, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." And so Paul says, there's everything we have is a personal salvation. I'm glad it's a personal word of God that comes to us. He deals with us when maybe nobody else knows it. He's dealing in our heart when nobody else realizes what's going on in our mind and our hearts, and the Lord is speaking to us, maybe as a song is being sung, or a message is being preached, or as a verse of Scripture is being read, or we're listening to somebody read the Bible. God, through His Holy Spirit, deals with us one-on-one, individually, and Paul says, I. Well, I'm glad I can say tonight, I am saved. I don't know about anybody else, but I know about me. I don't know about anybody in my family. I don't know. There's no one I can say for sure is going to heaven, but I can say I know it because He dealt with me individually. He dealt with me purposely, and thank God He gave to us eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says here, I know. And so he realized that personal thing of me. If we could go around the building tonight, and maybe sometimes we ought to do that just for the purpose of encouragement, every one of us that are saved tonight can tell you where you were when you got saved. We have that personal testimony. That's what we're dealing with tonight. I know where I was. I know what was going on in my life. I know I was young and didn't have a lot of things in my life that a lot of other people do have. But I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was lost, and I knew that probably 3 or 4 weeks real clearly before I came to recognize or came to admit and to go forward and get saved. And I don't think when the preacher read the verses of Scripture, when he prayed, it was just things on the after effect, because I got saved when I stepped out from the pew. And I trusted the Lord right then. I said, Dear Lord, you saved me, and I'll accept what you've done for me. And so we find it is a very personal thing. And so if we're saved tonight, we all have a personal testimony. And Paul says here, I. And the second thing he says is, I know. That's very positive. He didn't say, I wonder. He didn't say, I think. He didn't say, maybe. He says, I know. There's some things I know in my life. One of them is I'm saved. And if you're saved tonight, you know you're saved. I know it was hot today. How do you know that? I was out there in it. And if you was out very long, you know it was hot. There's something we know individually because we're in that. And so Paul says here, I know. It's a personal, positive message. 1 John chapter 2 says, Hereby we know, hereby we do know that we know Him. And if we keep His commandments, He hath said, I know Him. And keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Even John. And here, this is John the Apostle, not just the words of Paul now. John the Apostle says we can know. He says we know Him. Hereby we know Him, and we keep His commandments. That's an identification badge. If we do what God says, if we try to live for the Lord, that identifies us as a Christian. It helps us to know that we're born again. And John says if we don't do that, then if we don't do what God says, we're just a liar. Truth is not in us. But then he says, I know the Lord. And he says, in Him. Thank God again. Those are that word, in Him. In Christ. And so Paul says here to Timothy, there's a lot of struggles. A lot of people are ashamed. Demas at one time forsook the Lord. And maybe he was ashamed of the problems and the struggles and that come to Paul's life. He forsook the Lord, but Paul says, I'm not ashamed. And he tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of what you have. Don't be ashamed of who you know. Don't be ashamed of what's going on. Really what Paul was saying here, don't be ashamed of what you know God. Don't be ashamed of who you know me, Paul. He said, don't be ashamed of my problems, and even though I'm a prisoner, he said, don't be ashamed of me. And so he tells us here to have a positive understanding. Salvation that I have, the salvation that each of us have is a no-soul salvation. I know I'm saved. Someone said, how do you know you're saved? No. Proverbial answer is, well, I was there when it happened. And that's an answer, but that's not really a good biblical answer. Really, it's true, we was there when it happened. But a biblical answer is that God says if we believe upon Him, He'll save us. The Word of God is the way we know. The Word of God is way that we'll have understanding of a positive salvation that we have in Christ. And he says, "For I know whom." There's that little word, whom. W-H-O-M. Oh, Ephesians chapter 3. May be able to comprehend with all saints what the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I know whom. It's not just a plan. I'm glad there is a plan of salvation. I'm glad there's a method in salvation. And I'm glad my salvation is in a whom. It's in a person. It's in the name, person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul was very positive. He said, it's a personal thing with me. I know it, and I know whom I'm persuaded. He said, I know whom I have believed. And so we thank God tonight that we have the understanding of salvation, that it's not in a prayer. You know, a lot of folks want to say, what did you pray? You have to pray to be saved. My Bible tells me, you know, it just says, call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. And there's a lot of way of calling, and there's a lot of way of believing and trusting. Salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is not in a plan. Salvation is in a person. And that person is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul could say, I know whom I have believed. Now, if it had been in a plan, Paul could have said, I know what I believed. I've gone through the catechisms. I've gone through all the 1, 2, 3 ABCs, and I've taken the courses in class, and I know what I believe, but it's more important than what we believe. It's in a who we believe. And I'm glad it is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to know Him. What a privilege it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the fullness of our Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Creator of all things. He's the eternal Jehovah God. He's the sinner's Savior. And I know Him. I don't know a lot of people, but I know Him. I haven't met a lot of people, but I met Him one day. I met Him one night, and there at church one night, I came forward and I met the Lord Jesus Christ right then in a different way than had ever been, because I trusted Him. I believed what the Bible said He did for me. Somebody said, did you ask Him into your heart? No, I believed what He said He did. I believe what God said in His Word, that He would save me if I would believe. And so we need to realize Paul is saying a very powerful statement here when he says, for I know whom I have believed. And what a privilege it is to know Him. Then he says in the next part of that, he says, I'm persuaded. I know whom I have believed, and that's trusting. He said, also, I am persuaded. That means he's convinced of certain things. I'm convinced certain things tonight that are not going to change. I'm convinced certain things in the Word of God, doesn't matter who gets up and preaches something different, not going to change my mind because I'm persuaded. I'm convinced that it is according to the Word of God. And what a wonderful promise it is to know that we can be persuaded of the Lord, have the promise that He's given. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25 says, this is the promise that He has promised us. What is that promise? Even eternal life. That's the promise of God. And so Paul says, I'm persuaded. He said, I'm totally 100% persuaded. I'm convinced of what God's done in my life. And I'm glad not only can Paul say that, but I'm glad I can say that. Not only am I glad I can say that, but you can say the same thing too, that you be sure that the Lord has done a great work in you. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded, convinced, that He's able. That next little phrase there, He is able. How many times I've thought about what the Lord is able to do. He's able to take care of things that I have no way of even figuring it out. And He can take care of them in the split second of a moment. When things seem to be out of kelter, things out of whack, the Lord can handle it. When it seems as though that hope is gone, and it seems as though maybe health is gone, I'm glad the Lord can take care of it. I'm glad the Lord can handle that because He is able. That word able means He's powerful. He has the power to do it. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who's that? For you, those that have this promise of the Lord, who are kept by the power of God. He is able. I'm glad not. I can't keep myself saved, but He can, and He does, and He saves us with an eternal life, who has kept us by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And then Peter says it's ready to be revealed. Just in the last day, we'll know, and we'll have the understanding and the belief of He is able. Ever had anything in your life that if God didn't do it, it wouldn't get done? You ever had something in your life, if the Lord didn't answer your prayer, then it just wouldn't be accomplished? Because your friends couldn't help you, your family couldn't help you, your wife, your husband, your children, whoever you thought of, they could not help. But I'm glad He's able. And He can take care of the needs that far surpass our thoughts and our ways. He is able. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. All power, that word authority. The word power there is dynamos. It's the words that we get dynamite from. He has the authority, He has the power, the explosive power. And He says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Then the next thing He tells us in that verse in Matthew 28, go into all the world. Oh, we can't do that. We don't have the means. We don't have the way. We don't have the ability. Jesus said, power is given to Him. Go ye therefore. That means go in His power. Go in His strength. And so, thank God, He is able. And then He says in the last part of the verse, and says, I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Committed unto Him against the day. What day is He talking about there? The day of judgment. I've committed my life to Him. If He doesn't do it, it won't be done. If He hadn't saved me, then I'm lost. I'm out of it, but I've committed my life unto Him against that day. When judgment comes, it'll be okay. And so we find the Scripture says in John 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. I was given to the Lord by the Father. That's what it says. My Father which is greater than all, He hath given them to me. And He says, I give to them eternal life. Verily I say unto you, John 5, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When you get saved, you go from death to life. That's just opposite of what we think. We think we live our life, we go through life and years, and we die. So we go from life to death. But when you get saved, you go from death to life. Spiritually dead, spiritually outside the fold of God, spiritually just going to hell, had no hope, no way of ever escaping. But thank God, when you get saved, He gives you life. And we go from death to life. Eternal life, and then one day, life forever with Him in heaven. What a wonderful promise we have when Paul said, I've committed my way to Him. Don't be ashamed of me, Paul said. I'm okay. Don't be ashamed of my persecution. He said, I'm persuaded. I know. He said, I'm fully persuaded that everything I've committed to the Lord, He's going to take care of it in that day. And other way, you can think about that, in that day is His day. He'll take care of our ways in His time, His way. So tonight, thank God I know something. Thank God you know someone. Thank the Lord we know Him. We know in whom we have believed. And He has promised us eternal life. What a blessed thought that is to know Christ, to know the hope of glory. And even though we may be in prison like Paul, we don't have to be ashamed, because a better day's coming. We don't have to be sorry for ourselves, because there's a greater day coming. And Paul told Timothy that, don't be ashamed of me, your prisoner. He said, I know whom I have believed. He said, it's all okay. It'll all be taken care of because I know Him, the power of His resurrection. So tonight I hope we can say with all the assurance that Paul did, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. If you have that, you can go out tonight and smile. Doesn't matter what struggles come tomorrow, we can still say, I know whom I believe. He has it all under control because He is able. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Let's stand together. Ask His blessings. Pray that He'll give a good rest of the week to us. Pray for the campers as they come back Friday. Pray they'll have traveling mercies and all the things that are taking place, that the Lord will bless.